Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him. We bear witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household, and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. We are still exploring the wisdom of Allah in several areas. And the first area we started with is the area of Allah's wisdom in making people rich and making people poor. And then the second area we explored the wisdom of Allah in the laws of do's and don'ts, the moral values. The sha'ir, the poetist Ahmad Shawqi says, إِنَّمَا الْأُمَمُ الْأَخْلَاقُ مَا بَقِيَتْ فَإِنْهُمْ ذَهَبَتْ أَخْلَاقُهُمْ ذَهَبُوا. It means that great nations are based on great moral superiority. The minute they let go their moral superiority, the minute they collapse and fall down. So Allah has put a system in place. His wisdom shows up in this, the moral system that He put in place. What is so unique about it? Why is it any different from these moral systems that are put on paper and never implemented in the land of reality? Why is it when people say, well, you read communism it on paper, wow, looks wonderful. In land of reality, it's awful. You read, for example, the Bible, it says that if your brother slaps you on the right, give him the left, love your enemies. But if you look at the land of reality, we see 175 million people were killed in the previous century in World War I, World War II, 72 major wars, same size as Vietnam War. And we can see that this is not, where is that from the message of love and peace that they were asked to preach? Whenever you set the standard very high, people let go. I mean, I'm not going to be able to reach to that level, so why? I mean, I can't, so let me stay there. And we show how Islam is very practical in its moral system. Allah has put a moral system where the average street man is able to maintain and is able to reach. And this is the difference between idealism in Islam and idealism in any other system of life. And it's important to think about that, because the people who don't like idealism, who don't like moral values, because they want to take more than their fair share, because they have a conflict of interest with the moral values, they play with the words. They have the word gaming. The way they present moral values, they say this is idealism. And what is the opposing system that they believe in? They believe in realism. And you can see how clever they choose the words. These are called playing with the words. To make the good thing look ugly. Or look like somebody who's dreaming. Somebody is dreaming about utopia. What do you guys want? Utopia? I mean, give him your right cheek? What do you guys want? This is not practical. This is not real. You guys live in La La Land. We are realistic. And you guys are idealistic. So that's another game, and you can see the wisdom of Allah in putting a very practical moral system. Otherwise, those people would have a very strong argument. So, indeed, they are not realistic. We are idealistic, though we have a practical moral system. And they are realistic? No, they are materialistic, not idealistic. And reality is what we make. If we make the reality a good, righteous reality, it becomes a good, righteous reality. If we make it an awful reality, full of injustice, oppression, then it will become that way. So reality is what we make. Reality is what we desire and we make around us. So now today, inshallah, we're going to go ahead and explore the wisdom of Allah in another area. The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world of the unseen. This is a big question. Why Allah is not showing up Himself? Let's not say Himself. Let's say His angels. Why we can't see His angels? Let's not say the angels. Why at least we can hear the people who are in the grave as the animals hear them? As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, they hear these people in the grave. Now, a lot of people have a problem with that. A lot of people say, well, how could somebody be enjoying in the grave or being punished in the grave and we can't see it? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe, and Allah described the believers, that they believe in the unseen. Why is it unseen? Why is it tricky? Why? Is Allah out there to set traps for us, to test us and to make us make mistakes? Well, what is going on here? Why can't we see them? Why can't we just see these miracles? And indeed, it's a big problem. You know, a lot of people in a funeral, a person came and he said, you guys talking about enjoyment and punishment and hell and the grave, right? He said, yes. He said, look at this guy. He sleeps in a 5-stars box, surrounded by 5-stars pieces of cloth, wearing a very nice suit with the best perfume ever, surrounded by flowers. Where are what you're talking about? Indeed, it is, of course, not obvious to the average person that this guy, what you see is not what you get for this particular guy. What you see is what you get is Wiswick. So the theory of Wiswick is opposite to the theory of believing in the what you see is W-Y-S, what you see, Wiswick. Okay? So the Wiswick is opposite to the believing in the unseen. So the Wiswick says that this guy is having fun. I'm not, it's not, is surrounded by nice stuff. But how come you guys are saying that? And indeed, Allah, to simplify that concept, Allah in Surah Fatir had made the link between sleeping and death. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina nawmiha wallati lam tamut wallati lam Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtaha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha fayumsiku allati qada 'alayha al-maut wa yursilu al-ukhra ila ajalin musamma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the soul away from the body at the time and hold the soul, don't let the soul go back to the body during the time of death, or at the time of death, or after the time of death. And those who didn't die yet, Allah will take away the soul from the body during the sleep, which is the small death. Then when time of wake up comes, He will send back the souls that still have term of life that didn't expire and hold the souls that have term that has expired. So the analogy between sleeping and the analogy between sleeping and death is clear in that surah. Now, if you look at the person who's having a nightmare, what do you see? Let's talk about Wiswick. Wiswick is this person sleeping on a nice bed, nice mattress, and a nice feather pillow. And you see that person sleeping peacefully and snoring. This is Wiswick. This is what you see. But what is happening actually? This person is having a nightmare. A nightmare that feels like real. Okay? What matters are the feelings. Okay? It doesn't matter what is actually happening in the land of reality. What happens is what are the feelings of that person. In the nightmare, this person is yelling and screaming and running and suffering. You can't believe how much pain this guy is through in the nightmare. But that's not what you see. You see a different thing. And this is what is important. What is important is the feeling. There's a body and there's a soul. Okay? Not only the body gets the enjoyment. Okay? The soul is what matters. If the soul is in pain, it doesn't matter if the body is being tortured or not. If the body is safe, but the soul is in pain, then you know what is the point? I mean, there would be no enjoyment without the soul being happy and enjoying. And I remember when I was in the hospital doing my disc surgery in my back, I was in awful pain. Allah knows how much pain I was in. I went to the hospital. They gave me a morphine shot in the blood. Injection in the blood. To kill the pain. Not to kill the pain, actually. The pain remains exactly the same. Wallahi, the pain didn't change. But I was happy. It made me so happy that I didn't care about the pain. So my body was aching so much. But who cares? My soul was having fun. I was happy and I was joking with everybody, even though, wallahi, the pain didn't change. So what matters is the pain. And that's why what matters is the feelings of the soul. And this is why scholars say, in this life, if you want to give somebody pain, the only way is to punish the body or torture the body. Then the soul, because it is attached to the body, the soul will feel the pain through the body. And then And this is why they put people to sleep when they operate on them. Why? Because once the soul leaves the body, do you feel anything? No. Even though the body is being cut by the doctors, but still, no feeling. It's called the soul is gone. But once the soul comes back to the body and gets attached to the body, what happens? You start feeling the pain. So, in this life, the only way to give somebody pain is through his body, by punishing the body. So the soul will follow. Then in the grave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes the soul. So awful nightmares, you can think of it as awful nightmares that feels like real. When the two angels come and question that person, who is your Lord? Of course, the brain is what? The brain is dead, right? In order to lie, you need your brain to be awake and alert. Lying is difficult. Lying needs a lot of thinking. Lying, when you measure the activities of the brain is very, very active, especially that area, the front area here, the forehead. And this is why Allah says, نَاصِيَةٌ كَاذِبَةٌ خَاطِئَةٌ in Surah Al-Qalam. Allah is talking about the guy, the bad guy. He's saying he has a lintful sighing forehead. Forehead. It's because it's all coming out of this forehead. This is a lot of activities. If they wanna, if they are interrogating somebody and they don't want this person to lie, they keep him from sleeping for several days. Once he doesn't sleep, his brain can't think, then this person will never be able to make up a lie. Or if he makes up a lie, it will make no sense. Okay? So lying requires your brain to be awake. Now, when you die, your brain is dead. You don't lie. The answer is obvious. The answer comes obvious. I mean, who is your Lord? Money. I was a wage slave. I was this, I was that. Now, the Prophet says, the hammer they have, they boom on the head of the person. And that person sinks to the middle of the earth, and this person bounces back to the grave. Now, you say, how? This is how it feels. Who cares what's happening to the body? It doesn't matter. But this is how he feels. He feels exactly as though he's being alive and hammered with a hammer on his head, pushing him down all the way to the middle of the earth, and then he's bouncing back to the surface. That's what he feels, and that's what matters. When the bulbous snake comes and crushes, wraps around him and crushes his bones, this is how it feels. It feels like real. On the other hand, the believers, when they are being entertained in the grave, when they are being open a door to them in Jannah, and the good deeds walks in as a good companion that entertains them and says, I am your good deeds. My job is to make you the happy and entertained until the day of judgment. Sweet dreams that feels like real. It's like you are in Jannah. Compare, this is what is happening. So it's common sense. It doesn't, what you see is what you get, does not make any sense. On the other hand, it makes perfect sense. Using real life, you can see clearly that what you see is not what you get. So the question comes lay next and you say, why is it that tricky? Why Allah is not making it what you see is what you get? What is the wisdom? Why aren't we are not asking to see Allah? We are not asking to see His angels. Why can't we hear what is happening to the people in the graves? And, you know, not even that. Why can't we see a couple of miracles? Like a miracle every weekend. So people will gather. Instead of watching TV, they go to a certain place. And Allah will show them a miracle every weekend. And then it's fun. And we believe in the word of the unseen. And it becomes a demonstration, live demonstration. Why isn't that happening? What is going to hurt? And then the question is, now let's go slowly and find out what is the wisdom. First of all, why can't we hear the people who are punished in the grave? Once we hear this, we will not be able to have a free will. Why? Just imagine, Allah wants you to have a free will. Okay? He's not going to stop you if you decide to do something bad. So here we go. Let's imagine that you want to hold a cup of wine to drink wine. Okay, and then when you're about to drink the wine, you hear somebody being hammered in the grave and screaming, ah, like crazy. Would you be able to do it? You would throw the cup and say, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik, Yawm al-Din, Iyyaka Na'budu. There's no way. You lose your free will. Will be gone. the amount of fear that will be generated in your heart will be a compelling fear, will be a feeling of fear that will compel you to stop yourself from doing the evil. Okay? And this is not the intention of Allah when He designed this life, is to have a free will to do what you choose to do. Okay? If Allah allows you, if He doesn't allow you, then He will stop you using the laws of nature one way or another. Okay? So, this will not work. They will not fit together. Okay? Then why then we don't see miracles? At least miracles. Now, let's look and see what happened to the people who asked for miracles. First of all, Prophet Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look at him. قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. Let me see you. قَالَ لَمْ تَرَانِي. You won't be able to see me. وَلَكِنْ أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ. Look at this mountain. فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. I'm going to show myself to the mountain. If the mountain holds as a mountain, then you will be able to handle seeing me. But if the mountain can't handle it, then how could you handle it? فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed himself to the mountain, جَعْلَهُ دَكَّ. Boom! The mountain collapses like a dust. In no time, the big, huge, huge mountain made of rock suddenly became dust. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. Of course, just imagine yourself looking at something like that. Musa was like, if he has been electrocuted, it's like, oh, and then he passed out. فَلَمَّا أَفَاقَ. When he woke up, قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ. فَلَمَّا أَفَاقَ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا. Brother Ala, إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا. Nah, something. And then Allah told him, قَالَ يَا مُوسَى. Allah gave him the lesson. قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنِّي اصْطَفَيْتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ بِرِسَالَاتِي وَبِكَلَامِي فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ وَكُن مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. I have chosen you and having given you enough blessings. You are the only human beings that I have been talking to directly. خُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ. Take whatever I gave to you. وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Be thankful. Okay? You are a prophet. You're supposed to know better than that. You don't, these ignorant questions don't come out of prophets. Okay? So, then he repented and he said, قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ. You know, I repent. I forgive me for making such a question. So here we go. Physically, we won't be able to handle that. Okay, how about miracles? Let's look at the people who asked for miracles. And when Allah gave them the miracle, it never worked. Trust me, it never worked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, وَآتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ وَمَا مَنَعَنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ وَآتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ النَّاقَةَ مُبْصِرَةً فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا. فظلموا بها فكفروا بها. شيخ علاء. فظلموا بها فكفروا بها. فظلموا بها. وما نرسل بالآيات إلا تخويف. Allah says, I'm not sending miracles because the miracles are always, always a reason for people to be destroyed. No single human being have seen a miracle, of course, other than the prophets, and was not destroyed. And then he said, and we have given the people of Thamud an-naqata mubsiratan, the she camel that you can see eye to eye. What happened? They didn't let it live. There was a conflict of interest because of the milk and because of it reminds people about Allah, so they killed it. And then they were destroyed. How about the other example, the people in Surah Al-Ma'idah? The people of the table, when they asked the Prophet Isa, and they said, هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Can your Lord bring us down a dining table full of nice food from Jannah, from heavens? Immediately his response, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Fear Allah if you are believers. You guys don't know what you're asking for. You're asking for a miracle. If you see a miracle, you will be held accountable to a higher standard that you will not be able to meet. And then you will be punished. You won't be able to meet that standard and you will be punished. You will be destroyed. And inshallah, we continue next time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه.